Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God. How are you? Hope you're having a great Saturday. Every Saturday, 3:30 KKLA, we have a program, Knowing the Economy of God. I'm Tom Meglia, financial and estate planner, financial advisor, financial coach, and financial counselor. I've been doing this for 27 years, and it's great to be with you. Every Saturday, 3:30 KKLA Radio, 99.5 FM. Our website, theeconomyofgod.com. And the phone number, 800-386-3700. And I'm Tom Meglia. I'm here to help you and to help you understand God's economic systems, also known as God's economy. How do we do that? Well, we need to know the economy of God. And that's what I'm here to do, to help you know the economy of God. And to do that, we need to understand just what the economy of God is. I recently wrote a book that's at the publisher right now called Knowing the Economy of God, named after the show. And I've gone through the Bible, the entire Bible, head to toe, Genesis to Revelation, extracting different financial and economic principles that God wrote, that God created, in order to help others and myself understand just what God's economy is, what do we do with it, how do we understand it, how do we apply it to our normal life, bringing God glory, making Jesus Lord of our finances, and to become the kind of Christians that pray to God and say, Lord, change us. Make us into the kind of servants you want us to be in your economic systems, Lord. That's what we're trying to do what God says. Is the Bible applicable for today? Absolutely. I believe the Bible is 100% true, and I believe it's applicable for right now, all of it. I really do. In fact, let me read a verse to you to start here. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And when we discuss God's economy, there's basically four anchors. Then I'll tell you the little recipe I've developed to understand each anchor. Well, the four anchors of God's economy are, number one, God is the one and true and only owner of everything. Houses, estates, animals, jewels, products, ourselves, our families, stocks, gold, silver, money, cash, anything. God is the one and only owner. Number two, that makes us the servant, steward, or manager of what doesn't belong to us, but belongs to God. Three, third anchor, we are to be givers. The first order of stewardship is to be cheerful and open givers. That's the natural order of stewardship, is to be a good, solid giver. And fourth anchor, contentment. We are to be content people as Christians. Content with food and clothing, like Timothy says. Food and clothing. We will be content with that. For godliness with contentment is great gain. We're to become people that aren't always striving for things, that are content now because of Christ. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Jesus Christ gives us strength. We need to be content now, not when something happens or doesn't happen, when I get married or unmarried, when I get rich or this job or that job or this car. No, we need to be content today. So those are the four anchors that the book and my program and philosophy are based on. Now, in those four anchors, there's a recipe. I'd like to tell you about the recipe. The recipe, in my mind, is, number one, we cite the scripture. Number two, we state the economic principle that comes from that scripture. Number three, we talk about how to apply the economic principle to our normal life, just daily living, you know. And fourth, the prayer of change, asking God through prayer to change the way we live, to conform with his word, ultimately bringing him glory and demonstrating out of gratefulness, out of gratitude, our love for Him through obedience to what God says to do. There's your four anchors. There's the recipe. Let's go. Okay? Now, all of this combats something very important. All of what we're doing combats the world's way of handling finances. And the two worldly attitudes are, keep God out of it. Meglia says, bring God in it. Keep God out of it. And number two, Meglia says to be broken and contrite and humble. Well, the world says, nope, we're God. We're many gods. Our ego is supreme and should rule in our financial decision making. So God's economy goes against those two things. And that's great. I really like that. I love the word, and we should bring up 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that's in the heavens and earth is yours. Yours is the dominion, O Lord. You're exalted as head over all. And we commit sins when we disagree with what God says and don't do what He says. Because we're saying, God's not the owner. We're the owner. Let's do what we want to do. That's why we must give up control and surrender control and financial decision-making to God. It's very important that we do that. Now, we're on the book of Ruth. Okay, the last 2 weeks we've talked about chapter 1 in the book of Ruth and chapter 2 of the book of Ruth. What a phenomenal book. I think it is a great book, chock full with diamonds. Diamonds for living. Diamonds to change the way we are and change the way we live. All in the book of Ruth. What a great book. I mean, she had a book named after her. Isn't that amazing? She's probably right now in heaven, shocked, still shocked after 3,000 years that a book could have been named after her in the Bible. Amazing. The book of Ruth takes place about 1,100 years before Christ, or about 3,100 years ago, and there's just some great things in it. So let's talk about the book of Ruth and what we can take out of the book of Ruth for our normal and everyday living. Okay, let's do that, shall we? You know, the last 2 weeks we talked about the setting. What was the setting in the book of Ruth? Well, the setting was tragedy. Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, lost her husband and two sons. One of them was married to Ruth. So Ruth lost her husband, and Ruth's sister-in-law, Orpah, lost her husband, which was Naomi's other son. So Naomi was going through heavy-duty bereavement, grieving. Her mind was clouded. She thought God did this to her, and she was just so messed up. Not unlike us or what we would be if we were in pain, losing loved ones. I've seen it personally with friends that have passed away. It's incredible. It's a life-changing experience. In fact, Naomi was so hurt, she wanted God to change her name from Naomi to Mara. Mara meaning bitter. God afflicted me. I'm bitter. And, you know, that's how she was just so upset about what had occurred. But the story wasn't over. We read through chapter 1, chapter 2, and this week, chapter 3, just about what was going on. And it seems like Naomi was really being healed, feeling better about everything. In the first couple of chapters, it was hardship. There was a famine at the time also in the land where Naomi and Ruth resided, to go with the fact that they lost their husbands, and it's just amazing bereavement. So a lot of pain going on. It would seem like that, like for Naomi and Ruth too, this was as bad as things could get. Famine, losing your husband. What else could go wrong? What else was left in their mind? They wept a lot. The three ladies cried and wept, no question. And they should have. They were in pain. They were faced, though, with choices. And that's another thing we need to remember. There's choices that come up. We can either follow God, go towards God, or fall away, go against Him, get mad at Him, and just cut Him off. So that's the kind of thing that they were faced with. So grieving, but also with choices. They had to make choices. There was no food. There was a famine. So Ruth knew that she wanted to be loyal to Naomi and to the God that Naomi believed in and trusted. No matter what Naomi said, Ruth, take off, go get a new life. You don't want to be around me. Ruth was like, no way. I'm sticking. I'm staying. I'm committed to your God and to you, Naomi. She was loyal. How about that for character? What a great lady Ruth was. Okay, she had nothing to gain, no economic inheritance. Naomi didn't have anything she could get, no money, no inheritance. It was just all character. Just all character. Awesome character. Like the Proverbs 31 woman. Great moral character. Uh-oh, we're coming up to a break. I gotta stop. So after the break, we'll talk more about chapter 3 of the book of Ruth. And we'll continue on with the story and the economic principles in the word, in the story, and how we can change our life to conform to them. Okay, catch up with you in a couple of minutes.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share knowing the economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
Okay, we're back. Let's continue forward. You know, it's interesting. I checked the dictionary, Webster's dictionary, because in my Bible, it talks about Naomi being bereaved and what bereft is, the word bereft. Well, it's a sad, lonely place. Sad state. That's a survivor of a recently deceived loved one, a deceased loved one, I mean. So lonely, sad, you know, emotionally beat up, that kind of thing. Bereaving, grieving, being in pain, mourning the loss of a loved one. That's heavy. That's very, very heavy. But we learn about Boaz too, and we go on to chapter 2, and Boaz comes into the picture, as we talked about last time. He was a very upright farmer. Great man of God, generous to everybody, his employees and others, the poor, that kind of thing. And he comes into play because Ruth and Naomi had to go to a land where there was food. So they returned to Bethlehem and there was, you know, farming. There was, God was providing food. They had heard about God providing food, even in a famine, to his people. So they returned to the land of Judah. So it was very, very interesting. Great book here. So, Here we have Boaz entering the picture, and he took favor on Ruth and Naomi. He gave them food. He told his employees, don't touch Ruth, you know, protect her, don't touch her, respect her. Just incredible. And God even had a welfare program in that day and age in the ancient times. And that's another great thing about God. He provides and looks after the poor. He cares about the poor, the widows. God, you know, God has an economic system all designed to take care of the poor and the widows. He really does. And that was basically, you know, he would tell the landowners, go over your fields once, but not twice. Go over your fields once, pick the harvest, you know, get the wheat, barley, corn, take it all just one time. Don't go over it a second time. Leave some food, especially on the perimeter of the land, of the fields, for the poor to come at the end of the day and pick food so they would survive. That was kind of God's welfare plan. And it was really an interesting way of setting all this up, I think, because if you look at it, it's very interesting, because in that situation, out of his great compassion for the poor, God made the ancient Israelites. He told them, he commanded them, you leave behind some produce at the edges of your field, and don't have the reapers go over it twice, just once. Leave some unharvested food for the poor or the less fortunate to gather what they needed from those who had plenty. What did this do? Well, it did two things. It reinforced two key values. First, it provided a dignified way for poor people to meet their own needs. They had to work for what they ate. Second, the system taught those who had an abundance not to hoard. Don't hoard. God is against hoarding. That's another economic principle. And by walking away from an incompletely harvested field, the landowners cultivated a spirit of compassion, even as they maintain their own business concerns, their own companies, their own self-employed businesses. This is what God was doing. He was helping the poor. So all of this was happening, my friends. All of this was happening in the book of Ruth, 3,100 and some years ago. Isn't that amazing? God had welfare and economic systems to help people. He did not forget about people, especially the poor. He had a heart for them, still does. So this is kind of cool. I love it. That's all chapter 1 and 2. And it's just great because, you know, Boaz is involved and God's plan's unfolding. The book of Ruth, my friends, has everything in it. It's kind of like a movie. You know, you have pain, you have romance, you've got food, you've got money, you've got people connecting. It's really great. And not to mention that Ruth, who now here's Boaz in chapter 3, where Naomi's trying to set them up for a marriage. How about that? Naomi's now playing matchmaker, saying, hey, Ruth, go sit down at the Boaz's feet at the end of the day. So he's had his food and everything. He's asleep. And basically what that was kind of the Sadie Hawkins thing where, you know what the Sadie Hawkins thing is? Where the woman asked the man to marry him. The woman goes out on Sadie Hawkins days and on Sadie Hawkins day and finds the guy and says, hey, I want you to marry me. Well, Ruth was being encouraged by Naomi to kind of do that, kind of sleep at his feet. And so he wakes up in the middle of the night. The scriptures say in chapter 3, and who are you and all this? And Ruth's like, it's Ruth. And so he took favor on her. He liked her. And Naomi was trying to set them up for a marriage, which ultimately, interesting enough, King David turned out to be their grandson, Ruth and Boaz's grandson, which was all the lineage that led to Jesus Christ. Isn't this amazing? What a plan. No human could have thought of this. No Hollywood screenwriter could write a plan like this or write a movie or story like this. Just God. God's a screenwriter. He's cool. Anyway, so I love this. Okay, so, you know, this is what's happening in chapter 3. Boaz definitely wants Ruth. Ruth wants Boaz. The commentaries I've read say that Ruth, in a way, asked Boaz to be her life mate, her partner. And one of the reasons Naomi wanted Ruth to be with Boaz was for financial security. Not the only reason, but one of the reasons. And women to this day still like, one of their needs is financial security. It's interesting. A lot of things involved here. Naomi really liked Boaz. She felt that he helped Ruth. He She even said, Naomi even said in Scripture, blessed be the man who took notice of you, Ruth. So she prayed for Boaz. Isn't Naomi great? What a great mother-in-law. I have one like that. So at the end of that chapter, chapter 3, here's Boaz giving Ruth 6 measures of barley to take back to Naomi. So what a gift. Kind of interesting, kind of like a dowry in a way, isn't it? I kind of take that partly as a dowry, where you give the father of the bride-to-be a gift. In this case, it was Naomi. So she got 6 measures of barley. But all in all, Ruth wasn't asking for handouts. She was a worker girl, like Proverbs 31, the woman who worked. Ruth was a working person. And all of this to say, folks, that we need to listen to this. When we go through pain, financial catastrophes, financial storms, we need to realize the book of Ruth has answers for us. It really does. Yes, feel the pain, recognize it, but don't go away from God. Go towards God. Stay in fellowship with God in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't criticize God. God has a plan. We need to trust Him, not money, not life insurance companies, not people. We need to work hard, yes, like Ruth. We need to walk in faith like Ruth, knowing that God has a plan for us. These are some things we really need to remember, because sooner or later, the storms of life are going to happen. It's inevitable. People die, we all do, things happen, financial catastrophes hit us. Should we get rid of our life insurance? No. But we don't ultimately put our faith in insurance. But like Ruth and Naomi did, in God. They know and knew that God would take care of them. They didn't know how. They didn't know that Ruth would meet a man like Boaz. They didn't know that someday that their grandson would be King David, in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Ruth and Naomi didn't know that. They didn't have all the answers. But their character was solid. They loved God. They knew He would provide for them. We need to do the same. Where is your trust? Is it in your money, your 401k, your real estate, or is it in God? Remember, He's the only owner of all of it. And He will take care of us. That's His plan. That's His promise. That's what He wants to do. Let's not mess it up and say, oh, forget it, God. I'll just go do what I want to do. It's not what we need to do. That's not how we should be thinking. I'll tell you what, let's pray, and then I'll give you a final message for today. Lord, thank You for today. Thank You that You made us, Lord, created us. You're the owner of us and our property. Belongs to You, God Almighty. Lord, help us to understand further the book of Ruth and learn more about Boaz, his kindness, Ruth, her faithfulness, Naomi, her ultimate trust in You, Lord, and be the kind of people that they were. Not perfect, works in progress, but ultimately, Lord, people that showed love and loyalty to You. Lord, change our lives. Help us to trust in You and to minister to others, especially the poor and the downtrodden, and not to look away. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you would like a financial plan, call me, 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial planner. Let's talk about your IRAs, your pensions, your future game plans, whatever you'd like to talk about, your investments. Let's get together and have a meeting. Again, it's Tom Meglia, 800-386-3700. The first meeting is free, complimentary. God bless you. We'll catch up with you next Saturday for the final chapter and program of the Book of Ruth, all understanding and knowing the economy of God. Take care.
You've been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God. God.